In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In about 20 minutes' time, we're all going to be stood up, we're going to turn around, and we're going to greet our neighbours with the words, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." It's a wonderful part of our service. It's very much out of tone with everything that goes before and comes after. But it is important to remember that it is part of our service. The peace is not some kind of liturgical seventh inning stretch to give everyone a break halfway through the service. What is actually happening at the peace is that all of the ministers of God, all of the ministers of God, all of us, are ministering to all of the children of God. So let's not forget that at the peace we are doing ministry. And we're doing two important things in ministry. We are witnessing to our faith, and we are praying for a benediction on other people that they share in that faith and in the grace and the hope and the peace that comes out of it. Witness and prayer. Or dare I say, witness and evangelism. If I said to you, may the beauty of the color purple be always with you, which I do, what am I doing? I'm doing three things. First of all, I am acknowledging the beauty of the color purple. But having done that, I'm acknowledging that there is something called the color purple in the first place. And then I am wishing you the gift of that beauty. So when we say to each other, "The peace of the Lord be always with you," we are witnessing to the fact that not only do we believe in the peace of the Lord, but we believe in the Lord. And we want to share that gift of the peace of the Lord with our neighbors. So when we get to the peace, let's remember that's what we're doing. So let's talk about the peace of the Lord a little more. Let's see if we can explore it. I know it is supposed to pass all understanding, but let's just go for it. And I'm going to start by asking you a question. And the question starts with a little bit of background. So I want you to imagine that tonight you go to bed and you have a dream, or you wake up and you have a vision. And in that vision, a man from Macedonia appears and says, "Come over and help us." And my question is, would you go? And you may say, "I'm not even sure I know where Macedonia is. But it's a long way. It's further than London. And they don't speak English. And anyway, I'm not Paul. And I don't know what I could do." So let me ask a second question. The following night, Monday night, Tuesday morning, same thing. You go to bed and you have a dream, or you wake up with a vision. And there's a man standing there, and he says, I want you to come to northern Suffolk County, Ohio, where the I-271 and the I-480 meet. There's a little city of 12,000 people called Macedonia. I want you to come to Macedonia and help with something. And not only that, you realize that what the help he is asking for is something that you are uniquely gifted to do, and you realize that it's God's work. Okay? My question is, would you go? Well, I'm actually not here to test anyone's faith this morning, so I'm going to assume that you do. And I am going to ask you a third question. How would you prepare? Well, if you were like me, you would go to online and you would book a flight to Akron, to about 20 miles south of Macedonia. And having booked a flight, you would book a rental car so you could get to Macedonia. And then you would try and see if there was any room at the inn. The La Quinta Inn, the Days Inn, the Country Inn, the Knights Inn, or the Motel 6. There are only five places to stay in Macedonia, Ohio. And let's assume you find one. And then you go to Google Maps and you create a driving instructions, right? And you put it all in a document and you've got everything sorted out. And then you go and Google about Macedonia, Ohio, and you find out some interesting things about it. Like, for example, it's actually named from this passage in Acts 16. It actually got its name because of this passage in Acts 16. So, with all of that, with all that peace of mind, you can go to Macedonia, Ohio, to do God's work. Peace of mind. You have a plan, you have no worries, you have no uncertainties. It's going to go well. And that's what we think of when we talk about peace of mind. Right? If somebody, you're watching TV today and somebody says in an advert, we'll give you peace of mind. What do they mean? They mean there's going to be no uncertainty and there's going to be no worry. Now let's compare that with the kind of peace of mind that Paul and Silas and Luke have as they go on this journey. Paul has a vision in the middle of the night and they're off. They don't even stop to Google anything. They just go. They go from Taos, if I remember correctly, to Samothrace, to Neapolis, and finally to Philippi. Now, I don't know if they knew this before they got to Philippi, but Philippi is not a very nice place. It's a Roman colony. But it's not just any old Roman colony. It's colonized by the ex-soldiers. There was a civil war after the killing of the assassination of Julius Caesar, in which Octavius prevailed at the Battle of Philippi. And in that victory, he gave the gift of this town to his soldiers. This is a garrison town of battle-hardened Romans. This is not the place you want to go, frankly, but they go. And when they get there, it doesn't exactly go to plan. We kind of have this vision that they created this big church in Philippi, you know, Paul sitting there going, oh, I'm going to write a letter to these guys later. Doesn't happen like that. They go out, and on that first Sunday, that first Sabbath, they get one convert. One convert, Lydia, and probably weren't expecting that at the time. She was a woman. And she invites them into their house. So maybe they got somewhere because they got a house church going. But it probably wasn't what they were expecting. But they probably didn't have a plan. It didn't sound like they had a plan. But they seemed to have peace. In next week's reading, it's going to go a lot further wrong. Come back and listen. It's going to go a lot further wrong. And they're going to be at peace. This is not the peace that you get from having an itinerary and a guaranteed reservation. Because that peace disappears rapidly. You miss your connection at O'Hare. You lose your peace. That guaranteed reservation for your rental car isn't in the computer. You're no longer at peace. It's not the peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord is what Jesus is describing in the reading from John. He's trying to prepare the disciples for him no longer being there. And he describes something really different. He says, I have said these things while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let's unpack that a little bit. Jesus is telling his disciples he'll no longer be with them, but they will be at peace, and they should not be troubled or afraid. He's giving them his peace. He's leaving his peace. Not the peace of the world, not the peace that the world gives, the peace of not of knowing everything, being certain about things and not having to worry, but a deeper peace than that. A peace of continued teaching, continued reminder to love and serve the Lord, a peace of his continued presence through the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The Holy Spirit will be amongst you and you shall have peace. The interesting word in this reading is advocate. That's how our Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, translates it. But you can also translate it as helper, counselor, encourager, comforter, and intercessor. Kind of get the idea, something that's on our side. The word being translated from the ancient Greek is actually a word you may have heard before, paraclete. I will send you a paraclete. Paraclete from the Greek parakletos, para as in parallel, meaning at your side, and kletos actually means call. So a paraclete is something called to be at your side. The advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit is called to be at your side. It's a wonderful vision of the Holy Spirit, of God's Spirit being at our side and giving us peace, even if we have no plan and a lot of worries. And this brings us back to our ministry this morning and every Sunday morning at the peace, when we all, as ministers of God, witness and bless this upon ourselves. So when we get to the peace, which now is in about 5 minutes' time, and we turn to our neighbors and we take them firmly by the hand or we give them a hug, and we say the words, let's say them with a certain conviction. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May you have the one who is called to be at your side and give you peace. May that be with you. And say it with conviction and bless that upon them. And may the peace of the Lord be with us all. Amen.